Well, this week, Washington lawmakers led by Senator Dianne Feinstein began holding hearings on possible new gun legislation. And waiting in the wings, a possible new gun, something the White House has expressed an interest in, a smart gun that would only fire for the owner. James Bond received one in the movie Skyfall.
Also PPKS 9mm short. It's been coded to your palm print, so only you can fire it. Less of a random killing machine, more of a personal statement.
But they are real. The New Jersey Institute of Technology has been working on a smart gun for a decade. Trigger Smart, an Irish company, put a radio frequency in a gun that can only be triggered by a tiny device, say, inside a ring. A German company makes a gun that will only shoot if it's in range of a watch, which carries the owner's biometric data, like fingerprints. Russia recently announced work on a government-backed smart gun. Can any of this overcome the gun lobby's resistance to smart guns? Jonas McCord is founder of the nonprofit Biomac Foundation. They're lobbying for smart guns. His for-profit company, Biomac Systems, hopes to sell them. And he joins us from the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California, with a primer on where we are in smart guns. Jonas, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Robin.
Let's look at some of that technology I just mentioned. The Irish company Trigger Smart, they work with an owner's jewelry. Tell us more about how that works and some of the concerns about it.
One of the concerns about the technology is if you have the ring or you steal the ring and the weapon, anyone can use it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there's the practicality of, well, I better always be wearing my ring if I want to have immediate access to the weapon. The third part of all of it is radio frequency can be interfered with. The Irish company itself says, isn't this wonderful? We can cut off somebody from using it by interfering with the radio frequency. Well, that's really nice to know you can cut it off, but I don't know anyone who wants to be able to defend his home knowing that someone can hack into a system, electronically stop it from working. That's problematic.
Well, and I'm sure the Irish company is thinking of a mass shooter, for instance, if a police force could cut off a mass shooter. But again, yes, that's the kind of language that raises alarms, especially in the gun community, that someone will be able to cut off use of their gun. So move to the biometrics, this idea of your palm print or recognizing your eye or something like that. What are some of the thoughts there?
Well, biometrics to date seems to always refer to a fingerprint or a palm print. One of the problems is that fingerprint technology or even palm print, which we call graphic, in other words, it's measuring certain circles that each individual has, is only 91% accurate. Any weapon that you grab, you want to make sure that you're at least at 99.99% success rate. For a fingerprint, you have to hold it a certain way or whatever you have to do to grab that weapon is problematic in accuracy, in other words, recognizing the individual.
Well, and you mentioned another problem to us, which is that, for instance, in some families where people feel they are responsible gun owners, they share their guns.
The concept of having the James Bond gun, one gun for one user, is problematic. It's problematic in someone's having a handgun in his house wanting to defend his family. If he's not at home, he may want to authorize his wife to have access to the weapon as well. In hunting with rifles, it becomes very problematic because a lot of people teach their children how to shoot. They want to be able to have the ability to authorize certain individuals for the weapon. Therefore, you need the ability and the technology for multiple users per weapon.
Let's take a look at the history here. In 1994, the Justice Department started to look into making a police gun that would be a safe gun, wouldn't fire if a criminal took it away. There are now some policemen who are saying, well, wait a second, I don't want that percentage of the time that it might not work even for me. In 1999, you had that New Jersey Institute of Technology. Lawmakers there voted to give them money to develop a smart gun. In 2002, New Jersey passed a law saying that guns should be personalized. This is an important moment here. Explain that kind of a law, because the technology didn't exist.
New Jersey broke a ground in what we call technology waiting law. They passed a law which basically says that if a smart weapon exists anywhere in the world that meets the requirements stated in the New Jersey law, then 3 years after that smart weapon exists, no other new weapon can be bought in the state of New Jersey other than a smart weapon. Now, what they're hoping is that by passing that law, it will inspire industry to come up with the technology.
And now you're working for more of these technology waiting and maybe even a federal technology waiting law. Why? Why do you think this is so important?
Well, the point of technology waiting legislation is to inspire the research and development. Because of New Jersey, we were able to lobby for a technology waiting law in Germany. And the German legislature went far, far more extensive than the New Jersey legislature. Not only did they pass a technology waiting law, which mirrored the New Jersey legislature, in saying that all new weapons, not just sold in Germany, but manufactured in Germany, would have to be smart once that technology existed, but they went to say that all existing weapons had to be retrofitted for smart weapon technology.
So Germany passed this law, and we want to pick up in a second how you feel that maybe there will be some market pressure on the U.S. because all these other companies outside the U.S. are passing these laws. But meanwhile, Germany doesn't have the NRA and the gun lobby. And you know more of the history. When Colt developed a gun with a microchip so it would only fire if the gun user was wearing the special device, the CEO at the time, Ronald Stewart, this was in 1997, wrote, "This technology shouldn't be mandated, but it should be an option for the consumer." He was thinking of parents who wanted safe guns for children. He was thinking he was doing such a good thing. Colt was boycotted. He was replaced. The clear message here is that any industry that tries to take this on is going to have to face the gun lobby.
Well, history dictates that the technology we're talking to, if it's tried to be developed by the existing gun manufacturers, they will run into severe pressure from the gun lobby, from the NRA. We believe that this technology has to be developed outside of the industry. We're talking about access to the weapon, and biometrics are used for that access. Now, that same technology, if it works in weapons, could be worked in your cell phone. So the technology of access control could be used to gain access to your car, to be gain access to your cell phone, to many different items. Therefore, there is a real incentive for outside industries such as 3M or other people to develop biometric access controls for multiple uses, and therefore it has a monetary, a corporate benefit to develop this technology.
Well, but you know what the gun lobby says, that gun safety is a slippery slope to gun control. Also, we heard about the police who are saying, "I can't afford to have even a small percentage of the time have a safe gun not work." So address some of those concerns.
Well, the Glock, which is the weapon of choice by many police forces, jams at a greater frequency.
That's smart gun activist and investor Jonas McCord of the Biomac Companies. Let's pick up there, because Jonas says that his technology will overcome some of those concerns about whether or not smart guns will work. When we come back, we'll also hear both pro and anti-gun groups' opposition. Even people who are for gun control fear that a smart gun might lead people to buy more guns, feeling that guns are safe they don't think they ever can be. And always, your thoughts are welcome. HereAndNow.org. Back in a minute. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about smart guns today. A longtime activist named Stephen Terrett first lobbied for them back in the 80s after his friend's four-year-old killed a younger brother with a family gun. Now, the White House has mentioned them, and this year at least half a dozen states have proposed laws to require gun owners to buy liability insurance. The thinking is that will give people financial incentive to buy a safe gun. And our guest, Jonas McCord, is hoping that industries will try to come up with smart gun technology because of the money that can be made. His company is Biomac. And Jonas, we've been talking about how existing smart guns work 99% of the time. You say yours will work 99.99, but how else is yours better?
All of these weapons have been one user per weapon. Now, the technology that Biomac will be utilizing didn't exist until after 2001, 2002. The ability to print semiconductors. You've heard of 3D printing. Well, now they can print readers, optical sensors, on a printer, just like an inkjet printer. And those printed semiconductors can be molded into a handle of a weapon. So one of the sensors may read below your skin to the way your veins are inside your hand.
Not your palm print or your fingerprint.
Not your palm print or your fingerprints. Other sensors can read the pH inside your hand and will come up with the best array, whether it's three sensors, five sensors in every handle of a weapon, 10 sensors, that will give us the 99.99% recognition factor that we require. You can program additionally more than one user into the weapon. Yeah. But the person responsible for saying who gets programmed into that weapon will be the authorized gun owner.
And your technology, you say, also addresses the issue of old guns because it can be used to retrofit. How? Just change handles?
Well, it depends. Every weapon is different. The Glocks and the Sig Sauers are now made of synthetic materials, plastic. So you can just replace the entire system with a molded component that has the sensors molded in. In other forms that have wooden handles, we'd have to replace the handle and put the other things into the weapon. We made a corporate decision that the retrofitting of all existing weapons would be done through a not-for-profit company because our corporate model was about making money off of reading the biometrics into the weapon and not about retrofitting the existing weapon. Also, we're hoping that eventually it can be a tax-deductible item in the U.S., the retrofitting.
As you well know, the gun lobby is more than wary, but so are gun control advocates. The people from the Violence Policy Center, to pick one, are worried that this push for a safe gun gives the false impression that there is such a thing.
I agree with you. No gun can be made totally safe. There are two sides to gun control, gun elimination and gun control. We're talking about safety in a gun.
But as you know, the gun lobby still sees it as a slippery slope, has put huge pressure against these smart guns. But we're looking at some of the pressure building on the other side, all these companies from other countries. Then you have countries like Russia, with a government-backed proposal to make a smart gun. And then in this country, lawmakers proposing legislation that would require gun owners to buy liability insurance, the hope that they would think of more safety around guns and perhaps think of smart guns. Do you think that these different pressures can offset, which is a very big concern on the other side?
Right now, the NRA is aware that almost 80% of its membership express a desire for smart weapons. They're afraid the U.S. government would take the biometrics of every convicted felon and they could never, ever get a weapon. So they're afraid that this platform can be used by the government to do further controls on weapons to say who can have it, who can't, because you can't lie about your biometrics. The other side of the fence is afraid that if you actually make a gun that is not just perceived as safe, but appears as safe as anything can possibly be, people who would never own a weapon might start buying weapons. And they're not wrong. But here's the real bottom line. There's an old saying that says, save one life, you save the world. A smart weapon that really works will save lives. The other thing is, like it or not, this technology is coming.
Quick thought. This technology might protect that toddler we mentioned at the beginning whose four-year-old sibling found a gun in a nightstand. It probably won't stop Adam Lanza, whose mother probably would have allowed his biometrics to be put on her guns and would have allowed him to use her guns.
If all of a sudden you start creating the biometric data of people who have been diagnosed with mental illness, schizophrenia, whatever the case may be, and you started to create a bank, a national bank with that kind of information in it, then their biometrics could not be read into a weapon. Now, you have lots of issues, privacy issues, Supreme Court issues that would come into play, but that's what that platform causes fear in the hearts of people at the NRA, not in NRA membership.
Jonas McCord, obviously a windfall for your company if industry is clamoring for this technology. But why did you get into this?
I want to address the windfall to begin with. You're absolutely right. It could be a windfall. But we're making our white paper, what we want to do, available to anyone. We're hoping the technology is picked up, whether we develop it or not. I got into this because a few years back I was in a car crash and and my wife was pregnant with our now 5-year-old. Died. I'm sorry to report that the light at the end of the tunnel for me is still Newark, New Jersey. The bottom line is you start to question, what am I doing? And up to then, I had been making television shows and motion pictures. And I thought through my life and remembered a time when the same thing happened to a friend of mine where his youngest son killed his oldest son with his sidearm. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if weapons could be smart?
That's Jonas McCord, founder and CEO of the nonprofit Biomac Foundation, which is supporting research and development of smart guns and lobbying for them as well. His for-profit Biomac Systems has a system that they believe overcomes some of the concerns about smart guns. We'll link you to some writing at hereandnow.org. Jonas, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin. Appreciate the time.
So, would you want to convert your guns to smart guns, or do you think it's a slippery slope to gun control or more people buying guns? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. Back in a minute. Here and Now.